Thank you, Dr. Golombieski. First of all, I'd just like to point out that not only can I pronounce his name, I can spell it. So for those of you judging the papers, I take note of that, please. Moving on. As Dr. Golombieski mentioned, we're going to look at or discuss the evaluation of irrigation inputs for newly established turf grass species, 10 of the cool seasons that are most typically used. With that being said, I came across this quote. I think it very much sums up what I want to talk about today and the need for what I want to talk about. Species effect on water use of urban landscapes can be a very important variable, but its impact will be dependent upon which species are compared under what conditions. This is probably why such contrasting results have been reported in the literature. I'd like to move right on to what many of us are familiar with. Many of you in this room have helped contribute to this table, most commonly used and referred to for ET rankings, mean summer ET rankings for these 10 commonly used cool season turf grasses that I'm about to talk about. One of the downfalls of this table is that this is very hard to extrapolate from region to region. These grasses are often maintained under different cultural control programs, mowing, irrigation, etc. So with that being said, not only do we have limited information on various regions for these ET rates, we have very, very little information on newly established sites. Along with that, we're all familiar with the current impending laws. Many of us are more than likely experiencing those regarding water use on turf grass. And this research is unique in the sense that we're evaluating nearly all these cool season turf grasses in a side-by-side field setting. Very little work of this nature has been done. So as I said, we're assessing the water use, water inputs of newly established cool season turf grasses in a field setting, as you see here in this picture. Along with that, the objective of this research was to evaluate the potential of newer technology, more importantly, more economically available technology to detect turf grass water stress. Moving on to materials and methods, the experimental design, for starters, it was a silty clay loam soil, pH of 6.3. It was a strip split plot design with three replications. The 10 turf grass species I mentioned as horizontal treatments, the two mowing heights as vertical treatments, and the two nitrogen levels as subplot treatments. As you see here in the chart, I just want to point out we've got a blend of all the species of the turf grasses except for the annual bluegrass, which was sodded. For the most part, these are all newer varieties that are commonly used and accepted, especially in the Pacific Northwest. With that being said, the plots were seeded latter part of April and allowed 90 days to establish, to perform or to make an adequate stand. With that being said, many of you may not be familiar with the climate of the Pacific Northwest. We chose that seeding date because once about July 15th rolls around in our area, we received little to no rain for about 45 days. So the length of this trial was 45 days. Beginning on that July 15th. Once these plots were established, we had the two different mowing heights I referred to, the 16 millimeter and the 51 millimeter height. 16 millimeter were mowed three times a week to simulate a golf course tee or fairway application. The 51 millimeter height was mowed once a week to simulate more of a home lawn, golf course rough, roadside application. I also want to point out the mower that was used. We used the same mower for both of these mowing heights. It was a rear drive rotary blade mower, rear drive with a roller. Here's a more detailed picture of a main plot, of a species plot. I want to point out there's a 0.45 meter buffer between each adjacent plot that was rated to allow for edge effect and any lateral movement of the irrigation treatments. The plots themselves were initially 1.45 meters, but like I said, the part that was evaluated was 0.9 meters by 0.9 meters. These plots were assessed on overall functionality daily by a certified golf course superintendent and rated on a numerical scale with 1 equaling no water stress, 0 equaling no water stress, 1 equaling some water stress, and 2 equaling water stress to the point where it requires irrigation to maintain the stand. Once that individual subplot was rated a 2, the irrigation was applied at a rate of 7.6 millimeters through a hose and nozzle attachment with a batch and flow meter. I also want to point out that while this plat here is exceptionally in fairly good shape, the intent of this study was not to maintain lush green conditions, but maintain acceptable quality. So moving on, I also want to mention just a few other items that, due to time, we don't have the time to go into the details of these particular items. However, the visual daily ratings were also correlated with volumetric water content using a TDR probe. In combination with that, we also evaluated the plots with the Underhill early stress detection glasses. And then digital images were taken weekly and evaluated using SigmaScan Pro software. And at that same time, the plots were also rated on a 1-9 scale for turf quality. So, moving on to the results. This is what we're here for. As you notice, there is a lot of stuff going on this slide. The y-axis is our irrigation inputs. Along the bottom, you'll see all the 10 cool season turf grass species used in this particular, in this study. And I've also broken down the mowing heights. To maintain some visual sanity, what I've done as we go on here, move forward with the various result slides, I've kept this same order of these particular species. However, there may be a slight difference in some of the bars themselves. Also, you see here on the y-axis we've got irrigation inputs in millimeters. To make things a little bit easier to present and talk about, what I have done with the following slides is taken this total irrigation input and associated it to percent of a reference ET from our on-site weather station, which was about 50 meters from the site itself. And here's displaying that for 2009 percentage of reference ET. We've got annual bluegrass being our higher, requiring the higher inputs. On down to our tall fescue, I want to point out the velvet bentgrass having a different interaction between the mowing heights. And with that being said, our trend stayed pretty similar for 2010. So we didn't necessarily see a whole lot of difference between the two statistically, but with that being said, I was able to pool the data for to combine for 2009 and 2010. Again, annual bluegrass requiring the highest irrigation inputs. And then what I found and we found most interesting, the fine fescues, strong, slender, creeping red fescue, and the chewings fescue actually requiring almost as much of the irrigation inputs as the annual bluegrass. For many in this room, that may not be a surprise. However, I think for the average person out there, they would be relatively shocked to see that, thinking that, hearing of the fine fescues being a very low input, minimally input inputs required. However, I just want to point out these are newly established. Again, 90 days to establishment, and then essentially shut the irrigation off and then monitored for moisture stress. So again, I think there's many in this room that know that it takes a couple, 3 years to have these become a very good stand, a low input stand. On the other end, tall fescue shouldn't be any real large surprise to a number of us in this room, requiring the least amount of irrigation inputs to maintain, again, functional quality. Again, not shooting for lush green results. And then another relatively interesting result was the fact that the perennial ryegrass came in a very close second to the tall fescue. At least in our neck of the woods, perennial ryegrass isn't known for its limited water use, its excellent performance under limited irrigation inputs. So this too was very, very interesting. Moving forward. So here I just wanted to point out our summary slide for the mean summer ET rates that were used, again, referring back to that table from the start, noticing that the table to begin with didn't have a colonial bentgrass or a velvet bentgrass ET rate. However, if we look at the relative rankings of these, they end up falling in very close proximity to what's been reported in the data, regardless of the various climates where this original data may have came from. Again, I want to point out as along with this, the relative rankings of medium and high, there's low and very low, which were the warm season turf grasses, which I excluded from this table for the sake of this presentation. So, in summary, I just want to point out that we were able to classify loosely these 10 cool season turf grasses into their irrigation inputs. As I pointed out, the tall fescue being a lower water user, intermediate, perennial ryegrass, colonial bentgrass, creeping bentgrass, velvet bentgrass, and Kentucky bluegrass. Then, as I mentioned, the higher water users, annual bluegrass, which may or may not be a surprise to many of us in here, but again, the fine fescues, the strong and the slender creeping red fescues, and the chewing fescues all coming in with higher irrigation inputs over the 45 days. And then mowing height significantly did influence our water use. However, we did not see any fertility interactions, more than likely as a result of the initial pre-plant nitrogen fertility that was applied to the site. So with that being said, I definitely would like to thank everyone for spending their time listening to this today, and certainly we have some time for some questions.
Questions for Don?
Yes, sir.
It's been shown that there's a lot of range and drought tolerance among cultivars within some of these species. How
Correct.
Did you decide which cultivars to use?
Yep. The question was, there's a range in differences in varieties of these individual species. In fact, it's anywhere from 20 to 60%. What I did is I contacted the breeders with the help of Dr. Leah Brillman, and discussed with them the intent of this study, and they went ahead and gave us the, what they thought would be the varieties that would perform extremely well under these particular conditions. So as I pointed out, they were a blend of, we tried to have three varieties, some of the fine fescues only, we were only able to get the two varieties, but with that being said, that's how we chose that. Certainly Dr. Kopeck might have something. Maybe I don't, I'm sorry, I didn't say that.
Did that machine, did that hater really, does it stripe up the plots like it's advertised to?
It does an excellent job. Down to the lowest mowing height we had at 16 millimeters, roughly the 5/8. Anything lower than that, if you don't have a real smooth, even surface, you will see some scalping, but it did do very well. Yes, sir.
I probably missed it, but how did you evaluate water use?
What I did is I took, at the day of each individual irrigation, I applied that 7.6 millimeters, and then at the end of the trial, once the rains began to come again in September and we had really no control over the amount of precipitation and water being put down, added up that total amount over that 45 days. So those numbers you saw in those graphs was a total over the 45 days.
So you just added it as needed then?
Correct. Yep, based on what I saw from a visual standpoint, stress, and then, again, like I said, correlated that with volumetric water content as well. Yes, Bill.
Any observations on root mass, root length,
Yeah.
Species, how much soil volume there is to extract water from?
Yep, that's a very good question, and the question was, do we have any, do we more or less pay attention to our root volume that was extracting the water from those individual plots? With 120 treatments, Bill, we decided to kind of lay off any kind of root measurement. I will just point out that the initial intent for the study was to use the 8 millimeter and the 20 millimeter volumetric water content probes, but as we got into the study, we found that we couldn't get those things into the ground with the heavier clay, silty clay soil that we had. So that initially was going to be the extent of trying to measure that soil profile, that root zone. Yes, Dr. Kopeck.
On average, summer week, you got a lot of sun. How many days on average could the test go before you needed the irrigation? Species, but on average, you go 3 or 4 days?
Absolutely. There were some species that we could carry out 4 or 5 days. The annual bluegrass, depending on the mowing height, was pretty much daily. The question was, how long could we stretch our irrigation treatments out? Yes, sir.
One last question.
Sorry. What's the typical temperature, day temperature?
That's a very great question, Dr. Leiner. What we found, our typical average temperature would be around 80 degrees Fahrenheit. However, that first summer we had a full week straight of 100 degree temperatures, which are very abnormal for the Pacific Northwest, especially for us in Corvallis. Our second year was right around our average temperatures. However, what we found was that reference ET I mentioned was was nearly identical for the 2 years of the trial. So factoring in the other considerations, it was interesting to see that. So I'd say right around 80 degrees Fahrenheit average highs.
Okay.
Thank you.